Good morning to everyone. Good to see everyone here this morning. Good to have those of you visiting with us. We're glad that you're here. And as David has expressed, you are an encouragement to us. And so look forward to our study this morning as we look at a few things from God's Word to encourage us to continue to be faithful to Him and carry out His will in our lives. As I've pointed out on previous occasions, our theme this year is Let Us Arise and Build. And again, based on Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, and that's where Nehemiah tells the people as they are back rebuilding the walls to encourage them about how the hand of God had been with him and the king. And so the people are encouraged, and they, because of that, they said, let us rise and build. And that's what we've been doing. And our focus is building on those things that God has revealed to us and helping us to be all that he would have us to carry out in our lives so that we can glorify him. And again, the encouragement for us all is to study his word and apply it in our lives. Now, we live in a society where information is just traveling almost at light speed. Across the world, I mean, all kinds of information is passing through the wavelengths of electronics and so forth. And I really appreciate Brother Keith's lesson or prayer in reference to thanking God for the technology. And sometimes that information that's coming across can be used for nefarious or evil things, of passing on to trying to influence people to think differently than God and his word. And it is used to cause society even to be at odds with one another instead of bringing about unity and harmony, whereas the word of God does that. It brings unity and harmony as we apply in our lives. And so all these things are happening. However, God has revealed in his word on how to deal with these situations, those individuals that have these hidden agendas in life. And we have all of this warning that's given to us in scriptures that we need to be aware of. And so as the Christian, we are to interact in our society, and there's a lot of things that are going on. But if we stand upon the standard of God, it's going to see us through, and we're going to shine as bright lights in society. Look at some of the warnings that God has given in reference to our dealing in society. Remember, even with governments that are there, we're told about them and their existence and why they exist, such as in Romans chapter 13. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 1, we are told to pray for those who are in authority, to make petitions on their behalf, and also of giving of thanks for them as well. And so God teaches us in his word on how we are to deal in a society where there is a lot of information that can be detrimental to individuals. But you and I, as his people, as we shine forth his will, it helps them to get to know the God that we serve. So look at some of the warnings that God gives us about dealing in our society. For example, in Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, I want you to notice what the apostle writes about to the brethren at Colossae there. And he says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy. There's a lot of that out there. There's a lot of that kind of information that is causing people to think differently than what God teaches. And empty deceptions, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Now, notice this. The philosophies, the traditions of men, this empty deception is causing individuals to not see the deity of Christ, his rulership, his leadership, his teachings. And so notice what Paul is doing. He's reminding these brethren about that. It's all about the Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily forms. And in him you have been made complete. So all of that information that is traveling through the wavelengths that are detrimental to the soul of man, understand it's about the Christ, because it's in him that we are made complete. So all of those philosophies, those teachings that try to draw us away from the Christ, realize you're not going to be complete. It's only through him. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So through the Christ, the world is cut off from us, and we stand before God as those who have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. We stand whole. We stand complete through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Notice another warning. We looked at Colossians 2, verses 8 through 11. Notice, if you will, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. The same kind of sentiment that is mentioned there in Colossians 2 now also is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4. Now remember, in society, these are different locations, and in these societies, individuals, there's all different kinds of philosophies there. But the warning is given here to these brethren at Ephesus, verses 11 through 16. And because it's a port city, they're going to get all kinds of teachings. People from various ethnicities with their philosophies, the religions that would be coming into that port city doing business and spreading their teachings and philosophies. And so he says in verse 11, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. What's being told to these brethren that we learn from? That the information that's being taught from the Word of God or by the Holy Spirit through these men, it is to equip us for service in dealing with our society and spreading the information of God throughout it. Not only that, as he goes on and points out through the work for the work of service, but notice it's even building ourselves up. Then verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, the teachings of God, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. You see what he's doing? Again, focusing the attention on the Christ. Just as he did there in Colossians, when he wrote to the brethren at Colossae. Now notice verse 14, which is very important, because in society, this is what's going on with these various teachings. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful schemings. As I said before, notice these hidden agendas that are there to pull people away from the Lord. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. We are the pillar in society. God's people is the pillar in society to show the world this is what is right, as we worship our God according to his instructions. Another point that's brought out in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Here you have the false teachings that are going on, or the false prophets. And what Peter points out to these brethren is that the agenda is to exploit you or as the King James Version says, to make merchandise of you. So those are some stern warnings that's given in the chapter, in those verses there from 2 Peter. I said all of this to say that this lesson this morning is the foundation lesson that I'm going to be given in reference to the so-called social justice that's being mentioned in society. The philosophies that are going on in our world has people fighting against each other, forgetting about God, even among the people of God, when it should be the focus back on the Christ, following His teachings, and then carrying out His will. And when we look at this from the biblical perspective, we're going to see what true social justice is. And when the world comes out with its philosophies claiming that kind of title, then you will be aware, if it doesn't match up with the Word of God, it is something that I am to toss out. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, the apostle said to the brethren at Thessalonica, he says, examine all things. Hold fast to that which is good. That's a very important passage. That tells us, as we are interacting with our society, there are going to be things that are said. There are going to be things that are done. There's going to be information that's passed around. And if we don't have the filter to help us to see what is true, we're going to be carried away. We want to remain on solid footing on God's Word. If it's right, okay, yeah, we'll hold on. Why? Because God says so. God teaches us that it's right. So we hold on to that. If it's not right, then we just toss it out. Get rid of it. And try to help people to see the true standard by which we should conduct our lives. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. As Brother Jason read these passages for us, it says, for the one who desires life, to love and seek good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You see, the warnings that we read in scriptures from Colossians, from Ephesians, Peter is pointing out this is why we do not be carried away by the philosophy of the world or the worldly teachings. Because remember, God's eyes or towards the righteous. And this morning I want to explore this concept and laying the foundation are who are the righteous? Who are they? That the eyes of the Lord are towards. Because like I said, there are titles and headings in our society about certain conditions or certain teachings. The heading is right, or the heading is in harmony with the Word of God, but the devil is in their details. Let me say that again. They use titles and headings, and you say, I agree with that. But the devil is in the details. And so what I want to do in laying the foundation is who are the righteous. And just as the encouragement there in chapter 3 of 1 Peter in reference to turning away from evil and do good, determining what good is by God's standard. Anything else is going to be evil. See, by God's standard, that's how we determine these things. Peace. What is the true peace that we should be pursuing? And when we seek the true peace, then it's going to take care of the physical peace. Or as we would say, the peace in reference to the world. Why? Because the thought process and the attitude will be different. It would be in line with God's word. So let's look at who are the righteous. You see, Peter, when he's writing this, the Roman Empire is the ruling nation. And these Christians are spread out through the society. And so the lesson is to teach them how to deal with what they're going to be facing. Some will be facing persecution. Others will be facing some teachings and so forth on pulling one away from God. And so the encouragement is to regain their focus, to help them to, as they're interacting in their society, how to deal with those things. And I'm sure there would be some even discussions about politics as well. You see, sometimes what we do as Christians, these warnings that God gives, we usually take them and say, oh, that's only limited to the assembly of how we, you and I, are gathered together. But no, it applies as we're interacting in society. Not to be influenced by those things that pull us away from truth and as how we are to conduct ourselves, but to remain in harmony with God in our daily lives and as we're interacting. So who are the righteous? You're going to come across in scriptures these synonyms that relate to the word righteous. There should be a just, justified, sanctified, holy, purified. Those things are connected to this concept or word righteous. When he talks about just, it means someone who is right, fair, honest, when I say right, right by God's standard, as we will see in scriptures in just a few moments. Justified, one who has been made right. One who may have been wrong, but now has been made right by God's way. Sanctify, one who has been cleansed, set apart. That connects to the term holy, or holy is connected to that, and purified. All those things go together. And we're going to see all of this in these passages I want to point out this morning as we look at these things. The next passages I would like for us to look at is Romans chapter 3. Let's examine Romans chapter 3 in answering this question of who are the righteous as it relates to this term just, justified, sanctified, holy, purified. Romans chapter 3. I want you to notice what Paul points out to the Roman Christians. Because it's all about faith, teaching them to have faith in God. But in Romans chapter 3, these passages we quote and we read and we understand them. But looking at this in the context of talking about or identifying or defining who are the righteous. Beginning at verse 19. And what the apostle does, he says, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Why is that? Well, because God is the judge. God is the one that's in charge. In our class this morning, and even last Sunday morning, we've been looking at Acts chapter 5. And one of the things that we learn about Ananias and Sapphira, and as one of the students pointed out in bringing up in Ananias and Sapphira, and the lessons you learn, that God sees everything and God knows everything. And I said, wow, that's fantastic. And there were a lot of other good points that are brought up or brought out in Acts chapter 5 that the students pointed out. But that's why we are held accountable to God, because God is the one who is in control. God is the one that sees everything. God is the one that knows everything. And so, as he points out concerning the law, what the law does is the standard that God sets in place, or the orders or ordinances that God gives. And so when one fails to obey that law in any aspect of it, they're held accountable. They're now before God as considered being in the wrong. And so we want to get out of that situation. Notice verse 20. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. And so, again, the law just points out that one is sinful. Verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. Do you see what's going on now? The law just pointed out you're wrong, but God's justification system is by faith in Jesus Christ. The standard by which one can get out of the wrong situation and then be justified, in other words, being made right. I want you to notice what he goes on and points out. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift. That is a gift from God. We didn't deserve it, but God provided a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. What are we seeing here? We are seeing that through the righteousness of God, or God's setup of the death of Christ, that we can get redemption and we can be made right. That's what we are seeing here. It is like this chart pointed out about God's grace. That's what Paul is bringing to the attention of the reader here, that man in sin is going to be judged, and the only way to get right is by God's grace that he provided in the death of Christ. That's what he's pointing out. And we find this written in his word. Chapter 8. Notice verses 28 and 30. Again, that point is brought to our attention again. 28 through 30. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined, there it is, to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. What's pointed out here? That God is the justifier. He's the one that determines those who are righteous. That's what he's pointing out. God determines this. It doesn't matter what you and I think or how we feel. God determines this. It doesn't matter what others think or what others feel. God determines this. In fact, in Acts chapter 3 and verse 14, at the preaching of Peter and John, they call Jesus the Holy One and Righteous One. The one whom God set in place as holy and righteous. He epitomizes that. That's why he was able to die for the sins of mankind. And that is through whom God justified us through. That was God's system. That's what God put in place. So, who are the righteous? Looking at these passages, those justified by God's grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus by faith in his blood and conformed to his image. That is who is righteous. Again, it doesn't matter how I feel or what I think. This is what God is teaching us in these passages. Those saved or justified by God's grace. And there's a lot of folks out there with misinformation. They don't understand this. They think that they have been justified because they accepted Jesus in their heart. Yeah. There's a lot of people think that. Now I'm justified because I prayed the Lord into my heart. But that's not the determining factor of justification. God is the one, and it is done through the redemption in Christ Jesus in his blood. And then we conform to his image. Now, notice this in our society, though. You'll have people that say, yes, I am a follower of God. And the language that they speak, the profane speech that they do, the life that they live is not conducive to the image of the Christ. It's not in harmony with that image. So they have to make sure that they are justified by God's grace. That's what the scriptures is pointing out. It has to be done God's way. This point, this is further brought out in other passages. For example, which is another part of helping us define who the righteous are. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Notice what is pointed out in those passages here of who the righteous are. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. What is being pointed out here? Those who are righteous are those whose faith that is living by God's way. God's righteousness. That is those who are righteous. They've been cleansed They've been justified, and now they live by faith, by God's standard or God's righteousness. That's what Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. That quote is coming from Habakkuk. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. And if I'm sure some of you remember the lesson of Habakkuk. He is crying out to the Lord and telling about all the wickedness that's going on. God, do you hear? And God says, I'm doing something. And if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. And then Habakkuk even said, you mean you're bringing the Babylonians, the wicked Babylonians, who are more wicked than us, to do that? And then as God speaks, Habakkuk draws the conclusion. The just or the righteous shall live by faith. You know what Habakkuk is saying? I am trusting in God's way of doing things. That's really the bottom line. I am trusting in the way that God does things. The reason why we come up with other ways and means of being justified is because we no longer trust the way that God does it. We think better, and therefore we do things differently. And as we have been even discussing again in the young people's class, you know, if there is a God, why do people suffer? You know, why do good people suffer? And it's hard for us to grasp. We have to be like Habakkuk. We have to trust in God's way of doing something. Because he is doing something. We just have to trust it. That's who are righteous. Those who trust in God's way of doing things. When I listened to Garrett's talk in reference to the Lord's Supper, and I thought about Israel as he brought that to mind. And instead of Israel using what God blessed them with, they decided to build a golden calf. Why is that? Well, Moses is taking too long. Think about that. He's taking too long. And wait a minute, we got to get things done now. We got to do it now. Moses is receiving instructions from God on how they are to conduct themselves. And so when they build the golden calf, out of the blessings that God had given them, they were saying, we don't trust that. We don't trust it. But we do trust our way. In fact, God doesn't even know what he's doing. He's got us out here, and as Garrett pointed out, with no water. And as Scripture points out, yeah, there's no water, there's no food. Let's go back to Egypt. We know better. See, because not trusting in God's way of doing things. So the righteous are those who trust in God's way of doing things. And even in this matter, and most importantly in this matter of justification. Galatians chapter 3, verses 9 through 14. There it is again. The righteous will live by faith, expressed there in Galatians. And again, it is describing and helping us to see who are the righteous. And what Paul does is he uses the same language that he spoke of in Romans chapter 3. About God's justification. Because again, he talks about the law and how the law does not justify. The law points out sin. It is only through God's justification system that God justifies there. Verse 9 of chapter 3. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Those who trust God's system, they're with Abraham. We are blessed. For as many as are the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. For the righteous man shall live by faith. Faith in what? God's righteousness. Or God's justification system. in verse 12. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's why it's important that we live by faith in God's system. It's the Christ. In order that in Christ the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. If we don't do that, if we don't do it by God's way, we don't have those blessings. And that's important for us to understand that. It's important for us to help the world to see this, so that they can be justified properly. And not by whatever they may have read in a social media outlet, but by what the Scriptures teach here, His Word. That we can see it for ourselves, we can read it, and then we have it with us. And so, again, you see that coming about of who are the righteous. Hebrews 10, verse 32 to 39. And here, I know the Hebrew class talked about this extensively in their studies in the Hebrew class. But it's the same concept here in reference to living by faith. And really, the point that the Hebrew writer is bringing out is really the just live by faith, or the righteous live by faith, or have confidence in the will of God. And in the context, they lost property. You know, they've lost the material things. See, in our society, the more material things you have, the more you are considered blessed. That's not necessarily so. So these brethren are experiencing those properties, the hardship that they're facing, and in their mind they begin to think, am I doing what's right? And the writer's telling them, the just live or have confidence in the will of God. Yeah, they're going to experience that, and they're still going to serve God the way that God instructs, because they have confidence in it. They don't stop it because the world is mistreating them. No, they continue to do it. They excel in it. Well, we are supposed to excel in that. And that's what the Hebrew writer is bringing out here. The confidence in God's will or way of living as you suffer ridicule, as they suffer the loss of their worldly possession. Yes, that's who are righteous. And that's what we see here in chapter 10. There's a lot more there. Time does not permit to do that. And then I want to point out something else from 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's go back there, if you will, as I wind this down for this morning, as laid a foundation for dealing with social justice here. Because one of the things when we talk about these things, our society says that this is right, it's the right thing to do, and it's the only way. And so sometimes as Christians, as we hear about that or we read it, we say, wait a minute, you mean to say that if I don't get involved and do those things that they're talking about in the... Again, the devil's in the detail. Then I might not be right with God. And the Scriptures are saying, it's not about theirs. It's about God's system. That's what it's about. So if you're doing God's system, have confidence that that's what God wants done. That's what God is pleased with. When we do it God's way, that we have trust in. But 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, the passages that was read there, here's what is pointed out in 1 Peter 3 and 10. Who are the righteous? They are the ones who desire life in every sense of the term. They desire love. Love in the way that God defines it and encourages us to engage in when it comes to love. We desire, yeah, to see good days. Absolutely. And if we don't get them here, we definitely will get them in the world to come. That's encouraging. That's who are the righteous. They have their desires set in the right place and on the right one. And then if you look up in the chapter, earlier in the chapter there, notice what he's doing. He even deals with the husband and wife relationship there. You get a taste of it in the husband and wife relationship if it's done God's way. You get to see those good days, even when the days itself are terrible things that may be happening all around. But the good days are, I am doing right in the sight of God. That is those who are the righteous. That mentality. And as you're looking at that, I mean, there's a host of things that are there in the chapter. Notice verse 8. Desire life. Life is about being in harmony. It's about being sympathetic. It's about brotherly. It's about kindheartedness. It's about humble in spirit towards God and His ways of doing things as we are interacting in society. And we're starting to begin to put our finger on God's teachings about social justice. And as we explore that even in greater details, in God's social justice, righteousness is found in the details. Compared to the world's, the devil is found in the details. But in God's standard, God's way, goodness, righteousness, holiness is found in the details. Anything different will be insufficient no matter what our society says, no matter what our society thinks. And this is the encouragement that we should have as the people of God. Verse 9. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. That's why I said we're beginning to look at righteousness and holiness in the details of God's social justice. Because remember, the warnings is to help us to maintain our focus as we are interacting in society and encountering information. I hope it will be helpful for us as the people of God as we serve Him. And I haven't even scratched the surface when it comes to really describing who are the righteous, but there's more things that could be said. But this is just the preliminary, again, in laying that foundation, and we'll pick back up at a later time talking about more things in connection to who are the righteous. But it is those justified by God's grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus by faith in His blood and conforming to His image. Those whose faith that is living by God's standard or righteousness. Trusting God in God's way of doing things. Those are the ones who are righteous. They live by faith, or they have confidence in God's will. May not work out the way that I want, but it works out according to God's will, which is far greater and glorious. And it's those who desire life, life with God, loving His people, loving the world in the sense of trying to show them and teach them that God's way is the best way to live, to see good days. Yes. See the best days, especially as we leave this life and spend it with Him in eternity. If you will, bow with me in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for all the blessings that You have provided us, and as we look at these things, to help us to realize that as You justify us, that's what makes us righteous as we continue to follow your teachings. Help us to grow in that confidence, Lord, that we may share it with the world to help them to see that your way is the right way, and that they will conform to your will, and that we can rejoice together in giving praises and honor to your great and holy name. And give us courage, Lord, even as we face opposition to these things that you have provided, that we will confidently live by them and let our light shine in a community that is filled with darkness, so that they may see the light of your glory. And forgive us, Lord, when we have not done so, but give us the strength to get up and move forward in the grace and knowledge of your will, looking for the hope in Christ Jesus our Lord of eternity with you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, you can before it's everlasting too late. Remember the chart that I showed in reference to salvation earlier? That's what it's all about. God's grace. And as you obey God's grace, you're going to be made right. God is going to justify you. That's a promise from Him. And that's why we teach these things, so that you can be justified according to God's will and not mine or anyone else's. But it's God's will. It's God's grace. And we are to submit ourselves to it, humble before Him, recognizing God's love in the death of His Son for us, obeying His word, the instructions that are given, and then responding in faith and repentance of our sins, turning away from sin because it destroys, and confessing Jesus is Lord, ruler, master of our lives, to follow Him wherever He leads us. And the demand that God places for us to be baptized, that's where our sins are washed away. That is where the purification takes place. And now, as we're raised up out of the water, we are justified by the blood of Christ. We are redeemed. And because we are redeemed, we belong to God to serve Him all the days of our life. And so, my friend, if you're subject to the invitation, we want to encourage you to do so before it's everlasting too late. We're here to help. We're here to assist. All things are ready. And if you've fallen away after obeying the gospel, we encourage you to return to the Lord. Do things His way. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. That's what we will do, because we love you, because we love our God, and our God loves you. So we're following His will. So we can assist you in your obedience to Christ. We encourage you to come and make it known as we stand and sing the song that's indicated.